Hey there, Photo Field Notes listeners. This is Ali Ciardo, and my interview today is with Kristen Kelp, and it's all about bravery and all of these things that we face as business owners and all of the things that we tell ourselves or the rules that society tells us and getting beyond that and really just being brave about our feelings and our businesses and so many other things. So with that, I'm going to put on my Ira Glass hat. If you don't know who Ira Glass is and This American Life is, you have to look it up. It's a great podcast. So Ira Glass, at the beginning of his episodes, in his introduction, he likes to tell listeners, I want to warn you that there is profanity in this episode, and I wouldn't dream of removing it because it's so much a part of who Kristen is and her personality, and I feel like to take that out would be to lose a part of her spirit. So there is profanity in this episode. So if you have young children in the room, I definitely recommend that you turn this episode off and listen to it at a later time. So you have a warning, but it's a great episode, so let's get into it.
Welcome to the Photo Field Notes podcast, where you'll find stories, tips, and inspiration from professional photographers to get you taking action in your own business and making your business dreams a reality.
Hey, this is Ali Ciardo, and today I'm talking with Kristen Kelp, who's a writer and a business coach. And Kristen has, I just think, so much goodness and inspiration to share with us. So let's just jump right in. Kristen, you've had, I feel like, some great life adventures, kind of different paths that you've taken along the way. Let me start by asking you about, you talk a lot about bravery and you have this program called Brave. I want to hear from you about something that you've done in your life that has been brave. First of all, that's changed your life for the better.
I got a divorce.
That's pretty honest. Brave.
I married a really good guy, but I married like the completely wrong guy. And so it's possible to have a divorce without ever like screaming and yelling and freaking out. And it's just like, well, okay, that did not work out. So it was like, I was 6 weeks into marriage before I was like, oh, this is not going to work. And I didn't get a divorce until year eight. So there was a long period of like, I just have to make it work and work harder. And it'll work out if I just work so hard. And that was not the case. So that totally changed my life for the better.
Yeah. So what finally changed after 8 years where you finally had, you were finally at the place where you felt like it was time to take action on that?
It hurt too much to turn myself down. And I realized that like, there was no point at which I was turning myself down enough that it would be recognized for what it was. And I would just keep trying all of my life to keep getting smaller and quieter. And that eventually was just too painful. To keep doing and to keep trying to keep a relationship alive. So I stopped.
Interesting. So just being different people and you didn't feel like you could be who you are.
Right. Like I was too much. I was too loud. I was too colorful. I was too outspoken. I was just too big.
Okay. This is really interesting because, and I was going to kind of talk about this later, but you felt like you needed to be someone maybe that you weren't in that situation where you're like, I need to tone it down. I need to be this person I'm not. I need to be a quieter person. And where I was going through an exercise that you talked about. So let's just jump right into that. So you, in your podcast, you talked about these kind of rules that we make for ourselves. So where we take things that we hear societal rules over and over again, we tell ourselves things over and over again, and we create these rules that we think we have to follow, or somehow in our heads, they become reality to us. And one rule that I had for myself in my business specifically, and in my life really, was that the bigger, bolder personalities are the personalities that everybody wants. And so I would see people who are photographing weddings and they're like, we always get on the dance floor and dance with you and we're all about the party. And I was like, okay, that's what everybody wants. So I have to do that too. And that's not me at all. I'm not like that. And so it took me a really long time to realize that it's actually, there are people out there who like me for me, and they like me to be the calm, quiet, just kind of meld into the background presence, who knows when to jump out and knows how to be supportive. But I am my own person, and I needed to stop trying to be someone that I wasn't. And it sounds like for a lot of people, bravery in a lot of ways does boil down to that for so many situations.
Yes, to stop trying to be something that you're not. And I'm not even particularly loud, like verbally. I'm just loud, like I dress like a golden girl, and I talk to puppies, and I'm silly, and I am not afraid to express my opinion. And so it isn't necessarily dancing versus not dancing, but just the truest expression of me is incompatible with the relationship that I was in. And so I'm just looking to make every day be the truest expression of who I am at whatever volume I am that day.
Yeah, which I think that a lot of us do struggle with that in a lot of ways. Okay, following that up then, tell me about, and we're going to come back around to this because I think there's so much more to it, but going back into just like bravery and all the things that come with it, tell me about something that you did, just because I think we so often hear these stories from people who have gone out and they've talked about how they took a risk or they were brave or they did this big thing and it worked out so well. But it doesn't always work out that way. So if you're willing, I'd love to hear a story about a time or situation or something where maybe you have done something that was brave and it didn't work out exactly how you hoped that it would.
Sure. So it was 3 years ago, I decided that I would finally have. I'd never been to summer camp, so I decided I would have a camp. And since my website at the time was Brand Camp, I decided that I would just hold Brand Camp. And I set it all up to be like up and to the right. This is going to be the most glorious event ever. And by the time I had paid all the speakers and paid the camp and paid all of my costs, I lost $43,000. So, like, it was just this big, huge risk that was like leaping off a cliff and then just falling like rock over rock over rock over rock and breaking every bone on your way down.
Do you regret it?
No.
So ultimately, I mean, what good came from it in the end then? Even though obviously that's terrifying, like so terrifying to think about losing that much money on something, going into something, having no idea if it's going to work out or not. But ultimately, where did that lead from there?
Because money became so tight and such an issue, it forced the issue of the divorce, which turned out to be the best thing ever. And it really helped me understand how much I'm capable of taking on and how much I'm capable of being like, okay, well, we're just going to pay all of that money back, and that's fine. And you took a stand for, I still took a stand for something that I believe in, that was morally right, that helped people, and that helped some people had the very best days of their lives. And these are like people that are moms and they're married. And so you're not allowed to say you had the best day of your life if it wasn't when you had a child or when you were married, you know? And but they really did. Like, people opened up and their souls got bigger and their hearts were full and it was wonderful and glorious. And also, I lost a bunch of money. But ultimately, a very slow lesson there is learning just how little money means to me relative to those other things, like getting bigger and getting braver and helping people and expressing myself and helping other people express themselves. And then money is like a distant, I don't know, it's like 7 or 8. As long as I can eat, it's fine.
But that's exactly, I mean, again, coming back to these kind of like the rules that I've always set for myself and the pressures that I've always felt for society. And I think I'm just going to jump right into them because they're so, for me, they've always been so tied to money. And I think for a lot of people, they are, especially as business owners. Because what happens when I used to run a different company, it was a market research company, and we had employees and we made a good amount of money. And the questions people asked were, how much money do you make? How many employees do you have? What's your growth year over year? No one ever asked me, do you love what you do? Do you wake up excited to do it? And if they had, my answer would have been, not really. I really don't. And so I went from this business that was by all means looked at as quote successful because it was making money to something that when I made the switch made significantly less money. And yeah, I still want to be able to pay my bills and save for retirement and reach those financial goals. But ultimately, was it going to help me to make that much more money? No, absolutely not. So anyway, I'm going to jump in. If you're cool with that, I'm going to jump into some of the rules that I have written down based on your own prompt. So, okay. So Kristen had a podcast, and you should absolutely, actually, Kristen, let me put in a quick plug. Why don't you tell everybody first about your podcast so they know where to find it?
Sure. My podcast is at kristenkelp.com, Kristen with an E.com, kelp.com/podcast, or at That's What She Said in the Apple Store. And if there's, you see a woman with pink hair, that's me. And that's that's that.
Okay, cool. So I was just doing this little exercise Kristen was kind of talking about, just sitting there and writing, and she was talking about just the rules that you make for yourself and the rules that you've told yourself, and maybe they become your reality. And so, you know, I already talked about these rules in, let's talk specifically for a second about photography. So running a business, people ask the big questions. How many weddings do you have booked? How many sessions do you have booked? How much do you charge per wedding? How much do you charge per session? And to based on those questions, people are thinking, okay, so success is based on those things only. And that's absolutely not true, because I know that you can be making lots of money and working lots of sessions, and maybe you're lacking in other areas of your life. So it's, you know, getting beyond those. So some of the other things, just for fun, Kristen, that I wrote down, I already said, you know, you have to have a big personality. This is a rule that I've kind of told myself that I'm learning to go beyond. You have to have a big personality to be successful. Everyone prefers that photographer who will party on the dance floor with you. You're not charging enough. You're charging too much. Don't ask for a review. It will annoy people. That's something I'm just learning, is to actually ask for reviews from people. And lo and behold, they're happy to do it.
Right?
Yeah, it's crazy, huh? How that works, and how somehow that little voice in my head was like, don't ask for a review. They're either going to tell you it was terrible, even though they hugged you and loved you, or they're going right. to think you're so annoying. And even though they loved you before, now you're annoying to them. I don't know. It's just that, like, that little voice. More Instagram followers will make you happy. People only. I mean, let's be honest. Is that not the message that we are all receiving? And along those lines, people only want to see the beauty in my life. They don't want to see the other things. More money is always better than less money. I must catch up. I feel behind. So anyway, so can you talk a little bit about how you approach those feelings and how you look at them and kind of the steps that you use to take a step back and understand what to do with those feelings?
Sure. So a good measure of any of those is, could you prove it in a court of law? With regards to the Instagram following, it's made me laugh so hard because it's a numbers-based thing that isn't actually true. And when people want to see the beauty in your life, don't consider just for a second that your rational brain is telling you that keep you from being vulnerable, and that vulnerability is always beautiful. You've never come to a moment with another human when they're being completely vulnerable and completely honest, and they're showing you all of themselves and been like, well, that's fucking hideous and terrible. I just want to go back to my Instagram perfection porn. Like, that doesn't happen. So often your brain is being an asshole, and you're allowed to hear the thoughts and then be like, that's not true, and then just ignore that. Like a toddler throwing a tantrum, you put that toddler in timeout. You don't have to listen to what the toddler is saying about how you're a terrible mommy and he hates you and he wants to go live with Aunt Claudine or whatever. Like, fine, that's just a toddler having a tantrum. Your brain does the same thing. So recognizing it, and recognizing that there's often a pattern to it. Sometimes it's a pattern of overwork. Sometimes it's a pattern of despair. Sometimes it's a pattern of you're useless or you're worthless. And then noticing when the pattern happens, like my patterns, especially about how life is useless and stupid and worthless, happen when I've had sugar, when I'm really tired, and just before bed, because I'm really tired. So just notice, like, oh, you know what? I had sugar 3 hours ago. Now I am weeping. Brain is telling me terrible things. This is good information. I'm just noticing a pattern. So anytime that you can notice a pattern, you have more power over it. Every thought that you think is not true, it's just a thought. And when you begin to sort them, instead of just listening to them and believing all of them, you begin to have way more power in your life and in your mind and in your existence.
Do you have any daily practices that help you realize that? Like, do you have to write it down? How do you notice that?
I think the first step is probably outing yourself. Like, I've had so many conversations with people and I've been like, okay, so when I'm having a really bad day, there are a series of thoughts that I have that are like, nothing you do matters. Everything you do is pointless. You're never going to get ahead. You should be farther along by now. No one's going to like this. And so when you write those down, if you just make a list and you're like, okay, which one shows up? What are the top three? And like for my partner, it's whenever his self-talk is like, I'm stupid. I'm terrible. I'm a loser. Like, okay, so there are keywords there. It's like, what if you had a Google SEO for yourself of your keywords that are just like, oh, that's my brain being an asshole. So can you just begin to call out the top three, and then you can worry about the more subtle ones and the more insidious ones. And it doesn't ever stop. I'm not saying my brain doesn't have those thoughts. I'm just saying that my brain is a toddler and I'm like, no, you need to go sit in the corner right now. That's not okay. And part of this is just having a really long history of depression, being able to be like, I don't have the bandwidth or the room to be anything but really careful about these thoughts and to be really discerning about them. And so it's made me much, much better than the average person at calling out the asshole brain, because I had a lot of contact with it on a daily basis. And in terms of practice, actually really, really, really paying attention to the basics, like, am I hydrated? Have I had enough sleep? And have I had nutrition? Not judging good or bad, but we all know nutrition versus not nutrition. So instead of making it like, this has too many calories, like, okay, well, are those calories actually nutritious, regardless of anything else? And when I have those three basics locked in, my brain has a lot less bandwidth for making up terrible, horrible thoughts. Even though that's really boring and terrible, and I wish that it didn't come down to sleep, eat, nutrition, hydration, but it often does. That's the basis, and nothing else good can come until that basis is in place.
Yeah, and I think it is really easy. I think for me, those thoughts tend to build on themselves slowly, so they creep up without me realizing, and that's why, you know, it's not for me, it's not all at once. It just kind of creeps up, and then I all of a sudden will have this like, oh my God, what is my life? So I think that for me, definitely setting aside dedicated time to make myself reflect, because I think so often I get caught up in this busy world where you can just go, 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 and you can try to push those off and forget about it. But for me, writing is really, really helpful to be able to answer reflective questions and say, why do I feel this way? And I always get something from that. And I always feel like I come out feeling a calmer, happier sense of self from that. So, okay, let's get into kind of taking that into the idea of bravery in our lives. And you see how it all ties together in, you know, bravery and being our true selves and in all these other ways. But let's talk about, since you have a few really great things tied to bravery, let's talk about the different ways that we can be brave in our own lives.
Sure. I think for most people, it starts with being brave with your boundaries. So teaching people how to treat you, teaching people what is and is not allowed, and then actively making a space where you can connect with yourself, with your own thoughts, and with your very being. So, and that does require bravery in that there's always going to be something really busy making or really urgent to demand your time. There's always going to be the dings and the beeps and the notifications and noise and chatter. And then when you have a moment of silence, most people are much more likely to pop on to Facebook or Instagram than to just be with yourself. And all of that requires really, really, really good boundary making. And if you're like, I have no idea how to even begin to make boundaries, you can start by turning off all the notifications on your phone, all of them. And you can begin by choosing one or two times a day to check email versus just always having it open as a tab or an app somewhere in the background. You can also begin to wean yourself away from just taking all the money that comes to you and all the clients that come to you and being more discerning about, actually, this person seems like an asshole and they're not treating you well. And if someone is not treating you well, you don't have to take their money, because they're not your client until they've handed you money. So it's okay to be like, no, it's all right. Like, just no. Just like if you see someone being mean to a person at a waitress at a restaurant, people that are mean to waitresses at restaurants are not good people, period. And when people show you who they are, believe them. Thank you, Maya Angelou, for that wisdom. So when someone's an asshole, you can just be like, it's cool. No, thank you. I don't want your money. And then you're not having a relationship with an asshole.
And speak to that. I know that I'm getting much better at that, but I know for people who are maybe newer in business, it's really hard. So how can someone who is still trying to grow their business take that wisdom to heart?
There are a couple of ways. The first and easiest way is to have someone that you know desperately needs the money and will take absolutely everyone to refer to. So just a good, thank you so much, but I'm not accepting clients right now. Ba-dum. And they get pushed away. Two is just saying, I'm so sorry, but it's not okay to treat me this way or to talk that way. I don't see us being a good fit. And that's that, which is far harder to do, but so much more worth it. And then the way that most people do it is to learn the really hard way, which is to take on a bunch of assholes and then be like, oh my God, I hate my life. This ruins my existence. and then to slowly set up boundaries that keep those assholes from coming in. The danger is that you just put them all in all caps all over your website so that they don't even bother emailing you, and then you're also pushing away the people that are really genuine and lovely and wonderful. So there's a balance there, and I would say that when you find clients that you are deeply connected to and that you cherish, it's far easier to serve them and help them and to do your best for them. And so you're much more likely to generate more of the same and more clients and more referrals just based on the fact that you adore the people that you're working with versus the sort of begrudging, like, oh yeah, I have to take care of you, even though you're an asshole sort of thing that happens. And I've never taken good care of assholes. I've just been like, okay, what do you want? Okay. And then you just do your very best to be over them as quickly as possible and you move on. And if they give you referrals, you just pray that they don't give you referrals because like attracts like. So
yeah, absolutely.
Taking on the assholes just generates a more asshole cycle.
True. It's true. I mean, you're right. You don't want referrals from those people.
Because they're nightmares. And so the more that you can just draw the line way at the beginning before you take any money, to me, the more energetically clear you are to be like, nah, dude, I'm not taking your money. Or no, ma'am. No, thank you.
Yeah. And if you're still doing it, at least let that be a lesson when you do experience that and let yourself remember that feeling so that you don't do it again next time. So, okay, let's go in. What are the other types of bravery that we can talk about?
I think the one that you're talking about is sense of self brave, which is instead of hiding, what if you let yourself come out to play, whatever that means. And so, Allie, for you, that means that when you're on the dance floor, you actually enjoy watching people dance and photographing it and not necessarily dancing yourself. That's being sense of self-brave. Feel like that's how I actually want to do life right now. Or to be feelings brave, which means that you, instead of just being like, I'm fine, that you in some way are honest about what you're feeling in, at any given time, first to yourself and then to the people around you. Because it's so hard to tell the truth about your feelings because they're often not all that pleasant. And despite what Instagram will tell you, it's not all just like up and to the right perfection and beauty. And there's a lot of murk and muck and like bleh.
Well, and my good friend Lisa she gave me kind of an idea. And I will admit to you that I have not yet even been brave enough to try this. But she was talking about on the feeling front, you know, we do go around and we say, how are you? And the obvious answer is, I'm fine. I'm good. And if you continue to ask those questions, you're going to continue to get those answers. So from the perspective of asking, even if it's, you know, she says she'll go into a coffee shop or somewhere and she'll ask the barista, what is the best thing that you gave for Christmas, you know, around Christmas time? What is the best thing you've done today? Like, she'll ask those questions that are, you cannot answer as just a, I'm fine, I'm good. And she kind of forces people to get a little bit deeper and starts to practice that in her daily life. I have not done it. I will fully admit I have not done it, but I love the idea and I hopefully will become brave enough to try.
Yeah. You can also just answer honestly when someone asks you. First, if you check in just to see if they're there or not. Like I was at the cafe last week and when the woman said, how are you? She looked into my eyes and she was there. And I was like, I'm really good. How are you? Because it's so rare that people are even there when they're asking that question that it isn't just an automatic kind of response, you know?
Yeah, as they're moving on to do the next thing already, or they're
right.
Yeah, they're over here.
I was like, oh my god, you're here. Hi. I'm good. How are you? So being feelings brave is just admitting to yourself. Often to yourself is far harder than to admit to other people how you're actually feeling. Because you're like, I'm fine. Especially women. I'm fine. And you're like a little duck, like, I'm fine. And it's not true. You're just trying to keep yourself from sinking into the murk. And often when you sink into the murk, it doesn't last very long. And it isn't nearly as painful as shutting yourself down again and again and again because you're not telling the truth.
It's so true. And again, I think all of this in terms of just like reflection and it's amazing, truly. And I don't know if it's more or less or social media, it doesn't really help necessarily, but it is very easy to just kind of get caught up in saying, you know, I'm fine, or here, look at this pretty picture that proves that I'm fine, or everything's good, no big deal here. So yes, just like allowing ourselves to reflect, allowing ourselves to talk about it is really, really powerful. Okay, let's do one more kind of way of being brave, and then I want to talk about where listeners can find you.
Sure. So I would say the most important way, and this is the one that's the hardest to do because it gets shut down so quickly by asshole brain, is possibility brave. So if I'm like, okay, what's the best thing that could happen today? And you're like, well, I guess it would be that the principal didn't call because my kids were not in any trouble, and I guess I could get some Starbucks before I picked him up from school. And I'm like, that's the best thing that could happen today. Like, all right. Well, my best case scenario is like Adele announces she's having a concert next door to my house, and I'm the only one that knows about it. So it's just me and Adele like having a little concert together. Okay. That's my possibility, Brave. That's the very best. So can you play with, in any capacity, what it would look like to have a really good day, a really good week, a really good business? What would it look like to grow in the way that you would like? What would it look like to make money the way that you would like? And I'm not like talking about manifesting and like, oh, for sure, Adele's gonna come because I thought about it. It's happening. I just mean to play with the concept of like, well, what would happen? Like when you were six and you were like, what's the best thing that could happen today? And you were like, well, a unicorn could come riding through the yard and maybe it would let me ride it too. Cool. Like some sense of that imagination and some sense of possibility is helpful in everyday life all the fucking time. So when I ask entrepreneurs, like, what's, if it could go perfectly, how would it go? And they're like, well, it wouldn't hurt. It wouldn't be terrible. It wouldn't be painful. And I'm like, no. That's how it would not go. How would it actually go? And there's often like a lot of tears and a lot of like, I don't know, because that's so hard to live into that space where the thing that you want to happen is actually possible. So when you're possibility brave, it just means that when someone asks a question that's open-ended, that you allow the open-endedness to happen before asshole brain comes in and is like, well, that's not going to fucking happen. You're dumb. Shut up. But just like 30 seconds of possibility is all you need sometimes.
So what would you recommend for listeners to do if they were going to do one thing to kind of take this and take action on it? What would you recommend that they do?
For possibilities, it would be to pick one of the metrics that is super helpful. I'm sorry, super appropriate here. So for me, it means true wealth means to have enough time, money, and energy. So if it could go perfectly, would it be time, money, or energy that you have enough of? Which one are you desperately depleted in? And what would it look like to have enough of that thing? So for most moms, it's not time, it's usually energy. And sometimes it's money that you're depleted in. I don't know. I'm not going to make any assumptions there. I'm sorry. So if you're super depleted in time, what would it look like to have enough time? And you don't get to be like, well, and then you get all attitude-y. Like, honestly, what would it look like? What are we talking about? We're talking about 2 hours a week to yourself, 3 hours a week to yourself, 8 hours a day to yourself. What does that look like? Or enough money. Like, what does it look like to have enough money? I'm not saying like popping bottles with Beyonce on yachts money. I'm saying like enough money. And if you already have enough money, then what else can you get your business to give you that feels like it's worth as much as that? So in other words, can you get it to give you more energy? Can you get it to give you more meaning? Can you get it to give you more time or to use your time in a way that feels truly fulfilling and lovely to you? So when you open up those possibilities, what is it that you actually need? Because for most of us, it isn't just like, I need an extra $1,000 and that's it. It's usually not that simple. There's usually nuance. And usually, getting through to the parts that are really exciting, it's going to require being possibility brave.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, just going beyond again, coming full circle back around, so many of us get caught up in the money, we get caught up in the bookings, the numbers, and there's a lot more to it. And it's also really easy to feel like, what is enough? Maybe you'll never feel like you have enough, but really reflecting on that, I think is such a powerful thing to start to feel, just to feel that fulfillment all around. So, Kristen, this is awesome. You are awesome. And I mean, I know you have so many goodies, so many great resources that listeners can find you and dive into everything you have to offer. So, why don't you share with them where they can find you and all the good stuff you've got going on?
Sure. So I'm at kristenkelp.com, KristenKelp.com. When you click on Start Here on the page, I will take you to the Fuck Yeah Club, which is, I'll give you a copy of Go Your Own Way for Yourself and Business as Usual, which, if you've been in business for 4 years or less, is super, super, super helpful and completely free. And kristenkelp.com/podcast is where I do my weekly podcast. So subscribe to that shit. And if you're like, oh my God, I love you, I want more from you, just head to my website and click on community. And that's where the Patreon community goes. That is an extra podcast each month and a coaching call with me in a group setting. And if you're like, dear God, even that is not enough, then click on one-on-one coaching there, and I can talk to you one-on-one about being brave in your business and all of these things that come into play, because it typically isn't as simple as I just want to make more money. Often you're trying to do a bunch of things at once with your business, and I can help you sort out what you want to do, how you want to do it, and the time frame to get you there, and then help you get there, because I'll hold you accountable.
Well, yeah, and I'll just say, Kristen is just an amazing voice in our community. So many just words of wisdom and nuggets of inspiration. And I have like plugged in and listened to you, and your voice has come into my head. And, you know, I might be on the elliptical like, yeah, Kristen. Yeah. So I've just loved what you're up to. And I'm so happy that we get to share with everybody. So yeah, you guys go check out KristenKalp.com. You're not going to regret it. Kristen, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so very welcome. Thank you for having me. It's such a delight. Oh, thank you, Allie.
Thanks for listening. Check out show notes at photofieldnotes.com. And if you loved this episode, leave your review on iTunes. See you next week.